to the fourth case, Letkowski versus Barnhart. Mr. Horn.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the court, counsel. I'm John Horn. I represent plaintiff LaDonna Letkowski. And without waiving any of the other issues that we've raised, in the limited time that I have, I'd like to focus on the question of accuracy. And the accuracy I'm trying to focus on is the administrative law judge's accuracy in summarizing the testimony of Letkowski that he relied upon in assessing her RFC.
I understand that's where you want to go, but I do want to ask you one quick question, and that is whether or not Ms. Letkowski has filed another claim since she turned 55.
No.
Why not?
Well, she hasn't listened to me. Okay. Well, since you want to address this issue, Judge, I'm prepared to. I probably told her half a dozen times to file another claim. And why she hasn't, I don't know. All I can say is I could speculate. I could give you a hunch. If you want a hunch, I'll give it to you. I'm not inclined to volunteer it unless you ask.
No, I'm not going to ask for hunches.
I don't really know why. I mean, she does take Dilantin, and sometimes that, is a problem. And she is not highly educated. And there was a time, it's not this time, when you couldn't file another application, but that doesn't apply. So,
Well, thanks. Okay.
Right. All right. Well, the administrative law judge, the testimony and the misstatement of the testimony is on page 40 of the record. The misstatement of the testimony is on page 20. The claimant said she had trouble with both wrists. The administrative law judge summarized her testimony as left hand. She said she started having trouble lifting at around 20 pounds, about 20 pounds. She said she had trouble lifting more than 20 pounds. She said she had pain when the weather changes. She said she had pain in extreme weather. Now, this was a very, very close case. We were at step 5 of the 5-step evaluation process. The burden was on the commissioner to show that there were jobs for this widow who had no real prior work experience. That's why we were at step 5. And, maybe he could have found these things. Sure, he could have found what he stated. But he wasn't really doing that. He was saying that he was relying on this recollection of what she said in finding it. So if he's relying on an inaccurate memory of what plaintiff or claimant testified to, well then his RFC assessment cannot have had substantial support in the evidence. And because of that, we're relying on the demand for accuracy set forth in the Zarowski case for this panel to reverse and send it back for another hearing. Are there any other questions I can address?
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Horn. Mr. Saffi.
May it please the court, Deepak Sathy on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. Before I address Ms. Lukowski's one contention that she raised, I want to put the proper frame of work in this case. Ms. Lukowski, basically, this is a case where Ms. Lukowski filed an application and alleged on that application that she was unable to work only due to her seizure disorder. At the hearing testimony, she testified that she could not work due to her seizures and the medication she took because of these seizures. However, when the ALJ, the administrative law judge, asked her questions about this, she indicated that she had not experienced a seizure in 15 years. And in fact, the only side effect that she had from the medication was a few seconds of lightheadedness once a month.
But here, maybe you can help me with this, because the ALJ skipped the neurologic exam, and then he rejected the treating physician's assessment for lack of evidence, such as an EMG. Why shouldn't we remand for the neurological testing? The ALJ and the medical experts seem to think that they couldn't obtain or order an EMG. Why couldn't they?
Well, I'll address the first part of your question in the sense that it is true that the medical expert recommended both a neurological and an orthopedic consultative examination, but in light of the evidence that came up at the hearing that really focused on Ms. Lukowski's right-hand impairment, which seemed to be the only issue of concern, the ALJ reasonably referred her to an orthopedic hand surgeon for a consultative examination. Now, if we look at some of the reasons why the medical expert gave in terms of giving a neurological consultative examination, one of the reasons was for an evaluation of whether her seizure disorder met a listing. Well, she had testified that she had not experienced any seizures in 15 years. Now, the medical expert also indicated that maybe there might be a nerve component with regard to her legs or back, but there's nothing in the record evidence that supports such a situation. In fact, she went to the hospital on one occasion complaining of knee pain, and in that examination there were no abnormal findings, and she was neurovascularly intact. So based on the record that was in front of the ALJ, it was entirely reasonable for him to send Ms. Lukowski.
But there were these divergent opinions about the claimant's use of her legs. And when you have a wide divergence in medical opinions between a treating physician and the consulting physicians, and you have one of the consulting physicians say, look, a neurologic consult should be completed here. At that point, isn't the neurologic consult required? Because on what basis should the ALJ be able to substitute his judgment for that of the medical expert? Because it would seem that there is some sort of an ambiguity in the medical evidence that ought to be resolved.
All right. I guess in the first case, the ALJ was not necessarily substituting his judgment for a medical expert. The ALJ, in this case, was doing exactly what an ALJ is supposed to do. He's supposed to determine how much evidence is required to make a determination on his claim. As I indicated, the evidence as a whole and her testimony indicated that she only had a problem with her right hand, and as a result, the ALJ recently sent her for an orthopedic consultative examination with a hand surgeon. The record evidence really does not support any significant impairments with her leg. While her treating physician, Dr. Hamidudin, indicated that she could walk or stand no more than 2 hours, his progress
notes... Or lift more than 10 pounds.
Look at his progress notes. Basically, the progress notes are pretty much devoid of any significant complaints dealing with her leg. Also, look at the level of...
The treating physician thinks that her leg function is restricted, when you look at the record.
But there were, like, one or two complaints of pain in a five-year history treatment by Dr. Hamidudin. Her activities indicated that she was able to go shopping and walk with grocery bags from the store, that she was able to babysit her grandchildren, and so forth. And she was able to mow the lawn. She was a pretty active individual despite what was going on in this case. So it's our position that it was entirely reasonable for the ALJ to do what he did, which was to send her for a consultative examination for her hand. And that was the only thing that came up at the hearing with regard to her situation for the most part. Again, this all started off with a disability based on her seizure disorder. In light of the evidence as a whole, it was reasonable for the ALJ to find that this individual could perform light work. I would just like to comment briefly on the inconsistency that Ms. Lukowski's attorney raised.
Could I just ask you one thing?
Sure.
She had never worked in her life other than this babysitting. Am I correct?
That's correct. She had no past relevant work experience. She did work for about a month, but that was not considered substantial gainful activity. With regard to the inconsistency that was raised with regards to the 20 pounds of lifting, if you look closely at the administrative hearing testimony, that testimony was solely based on her ability to lift with her right hand. And she had not indicated that she had any difficulty with her left hand. So the fact that she said that she was able to lift about 20 pounds was totally in the context of her right hand, because the line of questioning was basically that she had difficulty grasping with the right hand. Based on these comments, the ALJ again recently referred her to an orthopedic consultative examiner who examined her thoroughly, performed various clinical exams, and found that she could lift 100 pounds occasionally, 50 pounds frequently. Again, based on the record that was in front of the ALJ, it was entirely reasonable for him to restrict her to a range of light work, and based on that, relied on vocational expert testimony that identified a significant number of jobs. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jaffe. Mr. Horn?
In fairness to the government, one thing. While Latkowski never engaged in substantial gainful activity, she did work a little bit more than, I think, a month. She, if I recall, she was working part-time at a non-SGA level around the time of the decision. She carried trays in a Jewel food store. It's in the record there. With respect to the nerve conduction study, that, as we pointed out in the brief, to deny the claim for want of objective evidence after not having ordered the nerve conduction study is rather unfair. And for that reason, as well as for the factual inaccuracies that the administrative law judge relied on, the case should be it should be vacated and remanded for a new hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Horn. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.